But in order to sort of get our minds, sort of turned towards life and death as we are in the Advent season, we're actually going to watch a little video. It's a short one, so hold on to your jelly bean as you watch this video. If we can just click anywhere on the black spot, the video should start to play. So I want to have a little interaction here. So as you watch that video, what comes to mind? How does that land on you? Waste a lot of time watching TV. That's true for many people, yes. Thank you, Rudy. Who else?
Take more risks.
You want to take more risk with the jelly beans you have left? All right. Thank you, Ross. Anyone else?
Time goes by fast.
Yes, thank you, baby. Because here's the truth. Life is short. And we don't know when we will come upon our last jelly bean. Our last day. We don't know when that is. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight as we get into the Advent season. I don't know that necessarily sounds like the most joyful celebratory Christmas message, but that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's pray first. Father God, it is true that life is short. We are here and then we are gone. So Father, we just ask you with the however many days we have left, God, may we make the most of them, but not for our own entertainment, for our own leisure, recreation, but for your glory. God, would you speak to our hearts tonight and show us how to do that? In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. So we talked earlier about Advent. It the word means the coming or the arrival. And so the first Advent was, of course, the arrival, the birth of Jesus. The second Advent is still to come, the return of Christ. So we are in a time where, as believers, we're in between those two, right? So the birth of Christ is a historic event that we can look back to, and the second coming is still in the future. And I think as we approach the Christmas season, I don't know about you, but it's really easy to get, one, it's kind of hard just to focus on the first Advent because you want to, you know, get the tree decorated, make sure you got the perfect gift bought for someone, and, you know, you got to manage who you're going to spend Christmas with if you're married, you've got family in different locations, things like that. But not only should we try to focus on the first Advent, but I think what would help us kind of keep our focus and, you know, as the expression is, or as the bumper sticker reads, keep Christ in Christmas, is if we could approach the first Advent and celebrating December 25th with the second Advent in mind. Right? So we're gonna approach celebrating the birth of Christ with in the back of our minds the fact that he will come again. Right? Because, you know, if you think about Christmas songs, I don't mean, you know, songs like Jingle Bells or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but songs like, you know, Silent Night or Away in a Manger, they sing beautifully about the first Advent. But I couldn't really think of one that includes the first Advent and the second Advent to come, right? So, and not that that's wrong, but I think it would just give us maybe a different perspective and would help us manage the holiday season a little better. So if you even think about the Word of God, it's divided, right? In the Old Testament, God's people received prophecy that told them about the first Advent. So they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. In fact, I'm going to rattle off some prophecy here that the people of God would have known about the Messiah. So fasten your seatbelts, here we go. Genesis 3, the Messiah would be born of a woman. Micah 5, he would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7, he would be born of a virgin. Genesis 12, he would come from the line of Abraham. Genesis 49, he would come from the tribe of Judah. 2 Samuel, he would be the rightful heir to King David's throne. Jeremiah 31, children would be massacred following his death, following his birth. Psalm 69, he would be rejected by his own people. Psalm 2, he would be called the Son of God. Isaiah 61, he would heal the brokenhearted. Psalm 41, he would be betrayed by someone close. Isaiah 53, he would stand silent before his accusers. Isaiah 50, he would be spit on and beaten. Isaiah 53, again, he would be a sacrifice for our sins. Isaiah 53, he'd be crucified with criminals. Psalm 22, his hands and his feet would be pierced. Psalm 16, he would rise from the grave. Psalm 24, he would ascend to heaven. And Psalm 68, he would sit at God's right hand. And so in the Old Testament, God's people looked forward to the first advent. And then when Christ arrives in the Gospels in the New Testament, suddenly the focus goes to the second advent. Let me read to you some passages. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God." Revelation 1 says this, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." 2 Peter, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." And Jesus himself in Matthew 24 says this, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And he also says in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So just as the Old Testament prophecy pointed to the first advent, the New Testament prophecies of the second advent, the return of Christ. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. If you're not sure where that is, it's in the New Testament. You can start at the very back, book of Revelation. Just flip a couple of pages to the left side until you get to Hebrews. While you're turning there, a little context for you. The author of Hebrews is explaining how the things of old, so the Old Testament law and practices like animal sacrifice, foreshadow Jesus Christ. And we're going to pick up in verse 26. This is what he writes. "Otherwise he being Jesus, would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So verse 26 is talking about the first advent. Jesus Christ came into the world to conquer sin by sacrificing his own life. Then skip down to verse 28 and listen for the second advent. "So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him." So verse 26 talks about the first advent. Verse 28 talks about the second advent, the return of Christ. And verse 27 is where I want us to now turn and focus, because verse 27 is like us. 26 is the first advent. 28 is the second advent. 27 is in the middle. Christ's first advent is already past. The second advent is yet to come. We are right there in the middle. Verse 27 says this, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." So with the birth of Christ in our rearview mirror behind us, and the coming of Christ still ahead in front of us, we should consider death and our impending judgment while we eagerly await his return. Our death and judgment in the Advent season should be our focus. That would give us a good perspective on how we should celebrate Christmas. And as we consider death, well, just by very nature of considering death, we're also going to consider life. So it'd be wise for us to look at God's word, and what does the creator of the universe, the one who created you and gave you life, have to say about the life he gave you? James 4 says this, "Life is but a vapor." Some translations read a mist. You spray Febreze, you see it come out, and then within a matter of seconds, it is gone. Listen to Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5. This is beautiful and deep. "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure." And Ecclesiastes, my favorite book, tells us that death comes to the righteous and the unrighteous, to the wise and to the foolish. No one escapes death. So here's what we know from the Word of God. Life is short and death is inevitable. Our lives here on earth are but a breath, a mist, a vapor, a jelly bean. The death rate is at 100% for mankind. It's like the old saying, two things are certain, death and taxes. I don't know anyone personally, but I've actually heard of people who don't pay taxes, President-elect. But nobody will escape death. Not only is death inevitable for all of us, but it is unexpected. It will come unexpectedly for most of us. I got to tell you, Tuesday afternoon is about 4 o'clock. I'm driving up 1604, and I hear this weird sound. I hear a ping, rah, rah, rah. And I'm in the left-hand lane, and you know, speed limit's 60, so I'm probably going a little faster than 60. Just a little bit. And I get over into the right lane, and then I realize my hood is a little like this. And I look over to the right, and there's a concrete retaining wall because they're doing construction. So I roll the window down over there, and I hear the poof, 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 poof. This is just a few seconds after I hear this weird noise. So I pull over. I'm on the shoulder of 1604 as, you know, rush hour traffic is starting to pick up. And I get out and I walk. You know, I have to wait because these cars are just zooming by. Cars and 18-wheelers. And I get out and I walk around to the front right tire, and it is, in a matter of seconds, completely flat. And I'm looking at it going, wow, man, I'm going to have to, and these cars are zooming by. And every time, especially when the 18-wheelers zoom by, my car just shakes. And I have to tell you, I was a little scared. I was like, man. Because, you know, people text and drive. They're not paying attention. There's not a big shoulder. I was like, man, is today, is this it? Is this how the Lord calls me home, changing a spare tire on the side of 1604? Obviously, I'm here. That didn't happen. But something else happened this week. So Tuesday morning, I fly to San Diego for work. Tuesday night, you guys know, I sometimes don't sleep well. So I woke up about, I fell asleep about 10 o'clock Pacific time, you know, and I woke up at 12:30 and was just awake. So go to my meeting Wednesday morning. And the lady sitting at the table next to me tells me that about 2 o'clock in the morning, someone on the 22nd floor was murdered. Stabbed to death. I'm in San Diego, Bayfront, beautiful hotel. Not one where you would go, yeah, you know, that's probably a hotel where something like that might happen. No. This is just a beautiful place. 9 floors above me as I lay awake, tossing and turning in bed, trying to sleep, someone was being stabbed to death. I guarantee you, when that person checked in, they did not know that they would not be checking out. Benjamin Marconi, a police officer here in San Antonio. I can guarantee you, when he buttoned up his uniform on November 20th, he did not know that was his last day on earth. Charity Seiler. 11-year-old girl. When she walked out of school in the 6th grade on Tuesday, she had no idea she would not walk back in on Wednesday. You might have seen it on the news, killed in an accident, 7 o'clock at night, riding in the car with her mom who was intoxicated. I talked to Ramsey on break. Ramsey's manager just lost his 4-year-old daughter. Life is short and death is inevitable. And for most people, the time, the place, and the method of death will come as a surprise. There is no escaping physical death. One day, your heart will stop beating. Your lungs will stop functioning. Your organs will shut down. There is nothing you or I can do to prevent that from happening. And as Psalm 34:5 said, everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. No matter what you think your security is in, your house, your car, how much money you have in the bank, the person sitting next to you right now, none of that can save you from an earthly death. If you didn't get the point yet, church, let me say it real clear for you. We will all die. But why? Why do we have to die? Simply stated, because we deserve it. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We have all rejected and rebelled against a holy, righteous God, and because of that, we are deserving of death. And if we look again at verse 27 in Hebrews 9, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. In other words, death is not the end for us. Because when we die, we will also go through a judgment. Just as no one will escape death, no one will escape judgment. Passages like John 5, Romans 2, Revelation 20 warn of the coming judgment. And Ecclesiastes 12 tells us everything we have ever done, even the secret things that nobody knows about, all things good and bad will come to light before God on that day. Those things that no one knows that we've kept hidden away, they will be revealed on that day. Can you imagine standing before a holy God when all of that comes to light? Everything you've done, thought, or said will be accounted for. Now we understand why the psalmist says, who can stand before God? And then passages like Matthew 25 tell us that our judgment will determine whether we are sentenced to eternal death or eternal life, whether we are cast into the lake of fire or into the glory of heaven, whether we will experience eternal condemnation or eternal joy. So let's recap what we've learned so far about life and death. Life is short, and we will all surely die a physical death. When we die, we will experience a judgment before a holy, righteous God, when everything we have ever done or said or thought will come to light. And is that our judgment? Well, we will be sentenced to either eternal death or eternal life. Now, that might sound discouraging, depressing. You're probably wishing, oh, I wish I hadn't come to church tonight. But let's look again at the end of verse 26. He, Jesus Christ, has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus came to earth, the first advent, not just to be born a baby in a manger. If that's all you think about this Christmas, if you want to be like Ricky Bobby and just want to celebrate the baby, then you're missing the point. He came to conquer sin and death for us so that our sins could be forgiven. And although we will experience judgment when we die, for those who have placed their faith in Christ, we do escape the punishment that we deserve. In fact, if you want to keep your finger here in Hebrews, flip over a couple of books to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll put in at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come, the second advent, just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath. God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Christ died for us that we might live with him for eternity. So back to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. It says, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many. So Christ died for our sins, for our salvation, for many. So that begs the question, are you in the many? Are you in the many who have placed their faith in Christ? If so, then when you consider your life, your death, and your impending judgment, then you will actually, as verse 28 says, be eager for his return. And the great thing is, for those who are in Christ, that death is no longer our enemy. Death is our way into glory with him. That just seems too good to be true. I mean, think about it. All of our secret things will come to light on that day of judgment. All of them. Things we probably even forgot about. And yet, despite all of that coming out, we will be granted eternal life. When we very obviously, each one of us deserves eternal death. How can that be? It is only because Jesus lived the perfect life that we could not live, that he died the death that we, you and I, so truly deserve. And he conquered death, which we could not do on our own. So as we celebrate Christmas, the first advent, the birth of Christ, as we look back on that moment in history, we also need to be looking forward to when he returns, to that day of judgment when, if we die before he returns, we stand before God. To give us a proper perspective on how to celebrate Christmas. Because I don't know about you, but I've been distracted with the thought, should I buy my son an Xbox One S? What am I going to buy my wife? It's so easy to just get distracted, to be focused on the material things. But when we consider the second advent and the truth that God has given us eternal life, then that helps us put celebrating Christmas in perspective. That is why he came here, to die for your sins and to die for my sins. So if you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, if the thought of standing before a holy, righteous God to be judged for everything you have ever done, if that terrifies you, it should. If you do not know Christ, then I encourage you to make that commitment tonight. Because here's the thing. You don't know if tonight is your last jelly bean. The roads are flooded. You never know when your time is up. You have a time that is appointed by God that only he knows. I want to encourage you to consider Christ before that day comes. If you want to do that, you can see pretty much anyone here after service. But if you are already confident that when that day comes, when your last day passes, that last jelly bean is gone, that you'll be sentenced to eternal life, then the question for you is this: what are you going to do with the jelly beans you have left, no matter how many they might be? What are you going to do with them? Are you just going to rest in the fact that you're secure in your salvation and just go on doing your thing? Paul had a great perspective on what to do with the rest of his life. Flip to Philippians chapter 1 with me if you have your Bible, Sandy. So you want to know what you should do with the rest of your jelly beans? Here we go. Verse 19, Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Paul has a great perspective. It would be so much better to go ahead and die to be with Christ. But until that day comes, he is going to live a life where he is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he will live with boldness each day until that day comes. If you know the Lord, will you make that same decision tonight? To spend each day surrendered to Jesus. So he is not just your Savior, but he is the Lord of your life. I hope you will. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that during this holiday season, as we try to search for how to celebrate the birth of Christ, the first advent, that your word speaks clear that there is a second advent coming. And we should eagerly anticipate that moment. Like Paul, Lord, give us a heart that says to live is Christ and to die is gain. God, would you show us, would you teach us how to spend each moment of each day like that? Because we do not know the number of our days. We do not know when you will call us home. So we want to live each and every day surrendered to you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.